Hi, and welcome to another episode of Extra Time, a weekly conversation with the national sports writers and editors on UAE and international sports. It is Thursday, March the 27th. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail for the national.ae. On the 29th of March, that is the day after tomorrow, we will be witnessing the 18th edition of the Dubai World Cup. The Dubai World Cup, which is the world's richest horse racing competition, is perhaps UAE's biggest and most spectacular sporting event of the year as well. With me to discuss the 9-race event is Geoffrey Riddle. Geoffrey is a Nationals racing correspondent based in the UK, and he's on the phone now from Dubai. Welcome to the show, Geoffrey. Thanks for doing this.
Hello, CB. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Not too bad. Right, so before we get into who could win, possibly, and talk about your predictions, I just wanted to ask you a question about an off-track development that you wrote about last night. Al Shakab Racing, which is owned by Sheikh Joan bin Hamad of Qatar, has bought 50% stake in Ruler of the World, who is considered a favourite to win the Dubai World Cup race. Why is this such a big deal?
It's a big deal because Al Shakab are sort of the growing power in world racing. They're from Qatar. Sheikh Joan has had an extraordinary couple of months as an owner. He struck with Trev in the Arc. He then won on Champions Day at Ascot, and he's rebranded his operation as Al Shakab. And to hook up with Coolmore, which is one of the most outstanding horse racing and breeding operations in the world, it creates an axis on the international scene that is extremely powerful. And if these two continue to operate together, it will be extremely hard for other people to compete with that.
Right. And do you find the timing of it curious, or are these last-minute deals commonplace?
This happens actually quite a lot. I mean, Al Shakab have actually done this before. They purchased Dub Day before the Emir's Trophy in Qatar last month, just before the race. And Dub Day subsequently went on to win that race. You know, the Dubai World Cup is an environment whereby you can do these kind of late deals. I mean, last year, Meandre was bought before the race as well, and it's happened before that as well. So it's nothing new. It just shows that, you know, it's an environment whereby these things can happen, and it's you know, it's exciting that someone who wants to have a horse in the world's biggest race can just come in and get one.
Right. Yeah, and talking about Ruler of the World, he's obviously, according to you, one of the favourites to win the Dubai World Cup race, which is the 9th and final race of the night. But he drew gate 12 of 16. Is that a bit of a bummer?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, if you think about it, you're going around a track for 2,000 metres and you're drawn 12 horses off the rail, you're clearly, unless the jockey does something to either get to the front early or take a pull and get settled in behind, your horse is going to run further than other horses. It's just like in like the Olympics when you're in the 800 metres. You have a sort of a place to run, and then you can drift in afterwards. So, you know, it isn't a good draw for Ruler of the World, but it is a long race, and he's got one of the best jockeys in the world on board in Joseph O'Brien, who actually arrived today in Dubai and was out on the track today in a hat, gloves, leggings and trainers, and he ran around the track earlier today.
Who are the other big contenders of the final race? You mentioned that the local lineup looks a little lightweight, but there are some Asian horses that are in the reckoning. What do you think? How do you think it's going to pan out?
Well, I mean, you know, with $10 million on the line, it does attract some of the best horses in the world. So, you know, it's not an easy race, but it is an interesting race in that it can be tactically versatile. Things can happen in it kind of halfway through the race that can have a huge effect. So say, in 2011, Victor Pisa was pushed to the front by Mika Demure, and it just proved to be one of the most spectacular tactical pieces of genius. And he basically stole the race on a horse that, you know, was not amongst the favourites. So it can be a very interesting race here and there. You know, as far as the Hong Kong challenges are concerned, there's Akeed Mufid and Military Attack. They're two very high-class horses. Hong Kong has struggled in the past over here, and to use the words of John Moore, the trainer, he said they've occasionally gone back to Hong Kong with a tail between their legs. But this year they've brought their best horses over. They've got horses across the card, and they're just an extremely bullish bunch.
That's interesting. You've got at least entries from six different countries, and is it the most international this race has ever been?
I don't know about that, but the fact that they have come from Hong Kong, they've come from Japan, they've come from Ireland, they've come from South Africa. Although Ron the Greek is not a horse from America anymore, he was bought by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So, you know, it is an extremely international field.
You know, it's been raining and there have been plenty of wet conditions over the past couple of days. Was that expected? And do you think the teams then changed their strategies accordingly?
Well, it was quite interesting because the rain was forecast. I remember on, I think it was Tuesday, we ran a story with Mike de Kock, and he was extremely looking forward to the rain because the turf, the sting, if there ever was one, was being taken out of the turf, and that he'd sort of hoped that it would slow down the Hong Kong sprinter Amber Sky in the Alcor Sprint by, you know, a tiny bit, because Amber Sky likes to bolt out the gate and go to the front. And Shay Shay, who won the race for him last year, come from behind. So it's a sort of cat and mouse event. And on that kind of ground with a tiny bit of rain, he's hoping that it'll just slow down Amber Sky, that he can overhaul him in the last kind of furlong or two.
Could this be the night for trainers such as Aidan O'Brien, Mike de Kock? You know, they're celebrated trainers, but they haven't won the big prize, have they? They won other races in the card, but not this one.
Mike de Kock has had, I think, nine successes on Dubai World Cup night. But as you say, he hasn't ever won a big one. He came within a pixel with Lizard's Desire a couple of years ago. And although he doesn't think that Sanshou is that kind of horse, he's hoping with a bit of luck that he can at least get a place. The horse proved in the Al Maktoum Challenge that he can handle Topeeta. He got a brutal draw around the outside. I think he ran 23 metres further than Prince Bishop. So, you know, he's drawn in gate five, and he's got a chance, but it probably isn't the one for de Kock, who probably could get two successes on the night with Shay Shay in the Alquaz. He looked virtually unbeatable in that race. He was drawn on the stand side where he likes to be in the post position draw. He looks virtually unbeatable because he has run the three fastest times on that track ever there. I mean, something's going to have to go wrong, or something's going to have to step up considerably to beat him. And then there's Sheikh Hamdan's soft falling rain in the Godolphin Mile, the race that he won last year. And although this year's race looks significantly harder to win, he should win that.
To end the podcast in two very light questions, Jeffrey. One is, which is your favourite Dubai World Cup moment? I mean, for me personally, it was Victor Pisa winning it in 2011, obviously, you know, with the tragedy in Japan, you know, serving as a background for a Japanese horse to win on that particular night when, you know, wasn't expected to. I think for me personally, watching the race was, you know, was a big moment. Do you have one such moment or more?
Well, I mean, as you say, that Victor Pisa, I mean, there you know, there are great performances on the track. There are, you know, there are great jockeys. There are great trainers, you know, all that sort of thing. The thing with Victor Pisa was, as I said earlier, was that, you know, it was, it, he succeeded by a piece of tactical genius from Mirko Demuro.
Right.
Not only that, there was a backdrop to the whole tsunami thing where thousands of people had died only a month beforehand. The whole of Dubai World Cup week was overshadowed by the Japanese, who were, you know, almost, I mean, they wore black armbands, they wore black shirts, they wore, you know, it was so emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheikh Mohammed came down afterwards and was, you know, hugging Japanese owners and trainers and whoever else was in the crowd. I mean, it was just such an extraordinary piece of sport and humanity and all that kind of thing that it just stood out completely. I mean, obviously, performance wise, can't really beat Dubai Millennium. He trounced a field in the year that he was supposed to win, given the name. And I mean, you know, as a feat of sort of planning, Sheikh Mohammed has to be given extraordinary credence for doing that.
Right. And final question, Jeffrey. This is a dream for a lot of journalists, for a lot of people even outside the horse racing fraternity who love watching horse races purely so they can hear some of the names of these horses. For me, Soft Falling Rain is, you know, it paints such a romantic picture. Then, of course, I don't know whether you remember at the Grand National, there was the horse called Boom Shakalaka Boom that competed once. Do you have such favorite horse names, maybe of competitors in the Dubai World Cup this year?
You say it's a dream, CB. I mean, I've been getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and on a Wednesday it was raining extremely heavily here, so it wasn't that much of a dream. But as far as those names concerned, I mean, everyone talks about kind of Sheikh Zayed Road. There's Ernest Hemingway.
Sure.
Safety Check, whose dam is called Doors to Manuel.
Right.
And then there's Toast of New York as well.
Oh, yes,
in the UAE Derby.
Right. But thanks so much, Jeffrey, for coming on the program and speaking to us. I know it's a very busy time for you, but thank you so much. We'll have to leave it here for now. Jeffrey Riddle is the National Newspaper's racing correspondent. He's based in the UK. This episode was edited by Paul Driscoll and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow Jeffrey on Twitter at LOUCHEPUNTER. And you can follow our sports coverage at SPRT National UAE and even the multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. I'm Chitra Bhanu Karlail.